Hey, what's up? Welcome to some bonus Canucks talk coverage here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd with you. Patrick Alvin, Canucks general manager, announced by the team today that he's signed a multi-year extension to remain in that role with the team. He is speaking to the media live at Rogers Arena. Are we ready to go, Dom? All right, here we go to Rogers Arena.
Around the world, and he's a good communicator. He's aligned the hockey department. And he's a very determined guy. It's been a pleasure to work with him on all the different projects that we work on. So happy to announce Patrick, and look forward to meeting with you.
Thank you very much, Jim. Very thankful and honored to be part of the Vancouver Canucks moving forward. Very thankful to have Jim Rutherford as my boss and my mentor here to deal with things on day-to-day stuff. I'm very honored, as I said, to be part of the Canucks moving forward, and very thankful to the Aquilini family for their support and the trust in myself here. Since I stepped into Vancouver and Rogers Arena from day one, the Aquilini family has been committed to building a championship team here. Up to this point, I'm extremely happy with the process of Rick Tocchet and his coaching staff to align with the players, build a foundation here, how we want to play and how we want to work every day. That being said, we got a lot of work ahead of us here, and we're all aware of that, and we're ready for the challenge. So thanks, and open up for the questions.
Patrick, I guess we'll just get started with, how nice is it to get this extension for you and your family?
As I said, I'm very honored and proud to be part of the Vancouver Canucks. What Jim have done to me here, giving me an opportunity to be a general manager in the National Hockey League, is nothing I take for granted. I know how hard it is. It's a very competitive league, and I will just continue to push forward here. As I said, we haven't established ourselves yet. We have a lot of work ahead of us to where we need to be. So nothing's going to change.
What have you learned about Vancouver and the Vancouver fan base in just over 2 years now?
Extremely passionate, extremely knowledgeable. I think they want to win, and they show up here every night and supporting the players. It's great to see, and the life in the building, it's pretty special here.
Patrick, congratulations. As Jim said, a well-deserved new contract extension. You made history when they named you the first Swedish general manager in the National Hockey League. There's a possibility you could make history again if this team could win the Stanley Cup, something that this fan base has waited a long time for. With the parameters having changed, the goalposts having moved so much better, the way that this team has performed, a lot of heavy lifting. How do you look at the trade deadline, and are you prepared to go all in? And if that means giving up prospects, would you do it?
You know what? This is conversations that I have with my staff every day. With the coaches as well, how we play. Tock has said it many times that he's a puzzle guy. And again, I give the players a lot of credit for where we are right now. They put ourselves in a position here to finish up the next 33 games. We all know that it's just going to get harder. Every single game from now on is going to be tough. There is a lot of good teams in our division and conference here. So I think that's where. What I like with the group we have is that we're having the next day mentality. How do we get better? What can we learn? And I think that's what the coaches have done a really good job. And I think part of that will dictate the outcome of the rest of the season. But as I said here before, the players have put themselves in a really good position. Do we go all in or not? That's something we always discuss, because the short-term acquisition or the short-term decisions always going to impact the long-term planning for us. And those are the things that my staff are always taking into consideration when we do something.
With the fact that you've had such strong performances from your third line, your fourth line, there's been so many contributors. Are you the type of person who wants to stay loyal to this group and let them finish out the task at hand, or perhaps risk upsetting the apple cart to bring in one or two pieces that may be a different piece of the puzzle?
Well, I think that the players deserves the credit for where we are. You go back to where we started, Dakota Yasha was a healthy scratch. Now you can arguably that he's probably our best wall play guy because he worked on it. And to his credit, he listened to the coaching staff. Same thing goes with Nils Höglander. He had half time early on to stay in the lineup, but they trusting the coaches to help them to get better. I think that shows the character of our group here too. The team is growing together, and the big puzzle is to see where our needs are in terms of improving. And if it makes sense, then we're definitely gonna look at it.
When you and Jim came in, and I know he was here a few months earlier, this job required an aggressive approach in terms of fixing the roster and fixing the cap. How have you evolved in that area? Because it was your first time as a GM in terms of being that aggressive guy. Were you where you were when you started? And, you know, have you evolved in that area?
I got an aggressive boss that is on me every day, and that's what I like with Jim. He's always ahead of things, and I think part of it, the parity of the league, we'll see here coming out with the COVID, with the flat cap, and how hard it is to make deals. And again, I think that's where our focus was, to bring in quality coaching staff members that could interact and teach our players to get better. We know that we had quality individuals, but we had to become a team in order to have success here.
I want to ask you about the effect of Petey's situation. I'm not going to ask you to comment on his negotiations, but how much does it impact your ability to think forward? Because if you know that's going to be a lot of money if he winds up staying. And take me through your approach on how to balance short-term needs versus long-term needs within the context of that negotiation.
Yeah, I think those. It's a good question because that's what we're dealing with every day. We're always looking at projection for our lineup, potential numbers, and I'm happy to see that several of our players having success in this environment. And as I said last year, going through the free agent process with Rick Tocchet as a head coach here, I guess I wasn't surprised, but I was very pleased with how many players that actually wanted to come to Vancouver and be part of this process and the environment that Rick is known for. Regarding PD, I think those are questions that we on daily basis evaluated and taking into consideration what makes our team better right now and how will that affect us moving forward here. And PD is... he's an extremely talented player, and I think that he has even more upside with the coaching staff that we have, and understanding that you have to sacrifice some of your own points for the team points. And I think that's where the mindset and process of our younger players are kicking in here.
Just one more, if I may. What are the priorities for you at the deadline? A lot of people believe getting some more winger help for Petey might be that. Is that how you see it in terms of your needs?
It's a little bit here, again, going back to listening to my coach, Rick Tocchet, and how he talks about the puzzles and how he want to play. I don't want to get into specific needs. I think in general, we're looking at different areas and what's available too, if it makes sense or not. But we all know that you need depth in order to be successful down the stretch here. And the way that players are performing in Abbotsford is encouraging for us as well. So we'll see and act accordingly what's available here and if it makes sense or not.
Patrick, first of all, congratulations on the new deal.
Thanks.
When you arrived here, I guess 2 years ago, this franchise wasn't in a very healthy position. Now you're first in the NHL. Had you anticipated this quick a turnaround?
Again, I didn't anticipate that. And I think that's a credit more to Rick Tocchet and the coaching staff. What I did anticipate was that our younger players and our talented players would be able to take a step big step forward with a structure and a system in place that Rick Tocchet would provide. Am I surprised that it went so quick? Yeah, but I also think what Jim said when we had our opening day of training camp, that this team has the potential and quality to be a good team if everything goes right for us. But I would give Rick Tocchet and his coaching staff a lot of credit and the players for buying in and listening to him.
And maybe just a follow-up to that, you've gotten, I'm not going to say it's been easy getting this far. How much harder does it get moving forward now that you've got, like the old, you were the hunted and now you were the hunter and now you're the hunted sort of thing? How much harder does it get moving forward?
It's definitely going to get harder. And I think that's the preparation the coaching staff are doing every day. They prepare the players for what's going to come in the future here. We all know that this league is tough. And the respect we're starting to get, which is great for the players. We're starting to get respect from other teams. So they're circling in the games against Vancouver because they want to get tested against the best team. And we need to be prepared for that. Nothing's going to change here. We're still going to go by the day-by-day mentality. We know we have a lot of work. And our players, as Tock is mentioning, meeting pressure with pressure. That's what's going to happen here the last 33 games, and that's what we're going to prepare ourselves for coming down the stretch.
Patrick, you noted you maybe didn't anticipate this level of success this quickly. Does where you find yourself cause you to have to change anything in terms of your plans or your level of urgency, whether it applies to this deadline or for the duration of this new extension?
Well, I think that's been part of the process. Both Rick and I are process-driven person here. So early on, the wins and losses isn't really an indication of how you play. Talking about playing the right way, talking about playing to your staples, talking about playing to your identity, I think those are the focuses from the coaching staff on every day, how do we get better? And it's the bigger picture is to include Abbotsford and our development staff to have the same vision, being on the same path to help the younger players making that transition. And I think they've done a great job. Daniel and Hendrik being the bridge between Vancouver and Abbotsford, having those daily conversations with Jeremy Colleton and his staff and Rick Tocchet and his staff. I think that builds a trust within the coaching staff to feel comfortable whenever a new player is called upon to come up here and perform. So again, this is a process towards where we want to be, and we're not there yet. We're not satisfied. We'll continue to push to get better here.
Within the cap era, we've occasionally seen teams find, you know, I think about like the Lightning with those bridge deals or the Colorado Avalanche with that MacKinnon second contract where you've got such a star level performer at such an efficient clip that it creates sort of a natural window. I notice your extension matches the term left, for example, on Quinn Hughes' deal with, you know, one of the best goalies, one of the best defenders in the sport, making something like 12.5 against the cap. Do you have to approach this next 4 years as sort of a window for this team?
Well, hopefully the window of success is just starting for us here. I think you don't want to have a one-year hit. I think you're going to be evaluated over time if you can sustain it, and that's something we are looking at and definitely challenging our staff on the hockey app side to continue to build our prospects pipeline and Abbotsford to have that success. And I think part of it is we all know the salary cap, and we all know that how you build around it and the cores, as you mentioned. For us, it's more about finding players with upside that might make a little bit less. That you know, look at Amon Hoglander, Dakota Yasha, Noah Juleson, Friedman. There's plenty of those guys that coming into this environment and are willing to work. And we, I believe, we have one of the better coaching staffs in the league to help each individual to be successful. But individual success comes from team success, and I think that's where our players starting to understand and trust where we are.
Patrick, when you talk about your coaching staff here, you have Hall of Famers, you have Stanley Cups, like so much experience. How important do you think that is for the players, and specifically young players coming into this league, having that coaching staff or the development staff in Abbotsford, all these guys with all this experience, how important is that for you to know that you have that on your staff?
I think that was a very important for us when we started looking how to build out the coaching staff. I think the credibility of those coaches, what they've done as players and coaches, and how can you not look up to Daniel and Hendrik to see what they've done for this franchise, and they still today have the same hunger to want to win and be. It's not about them; it's about the team and the organization. I think that's what the players see here every day. To see the energy and wanted to be part of this and know that they get better in this environment. And I think that's part of the culture and the standard that we want to establish and build here.
Patrick, I'm curious how you look at the greater challenge or the greater task, getting this team over the line for this year, or what you're going to face in the offseason with all the free agents that you're going to have to sign and how you try to fit all that in. You're smiling, but yeah. I don't envy you. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. But how do you see those two tasks? Do they compare, or are they greater? Is one greater than the other?
Well, I think they're aligned together. But what makes me happy is to see how some of the players that wanted to come here on a short term deals because they believed in themselves. We believed in them, and we know that they were capable of doing more in an environment where they got taught or teached every day. Again, our next, the players and the coaches have the next day mentality. Obviously, from my end and my staff, we're always looking ahead of things. And that's one thing I've learned from Jim, being around him, that you always need to be ahead of things. And obviously, those are the discussions that we have around the hockey ops. You know, what are our options? How would our team look next year?
We don't get to see you in the boardroom. We just get to see your work afterwards when the press releases come out or the guys on the ice. Can you just put us in your shoes when you look? Obviously, you have to look short term, but you also have to look long term. You've talked a little bit about that. But when we look at what you're going to go through in the offseason and then the trickle-down effect it may or may not have, I mean, Philip Peronik's going to need a raise. You've talked about Elias Pettersson. You know, you look at your third and fourth line, those guys. Then you also look at your prospects. How do you figure out how those are going to slot in a year from now, 2 years from now? Because it's a big part of this organization moving forward, and I'm curious how it works.
Absolutely. And I think that's where creating this environment where players you know, feel safe and feel that we're going in the right direction, and the ownership's commitment to the players too, that in order to be good, you might have to sacrifice some of your own ego in order to have a good team around you. What I've seen from successful teams, that's what their core players are doing. They don't take the biggest piece of the pie. They understand that there is a puzzle. And I think we're coming a long way in that regards. And I do, as I said, seeing that we have a internal competition here that is stronger than what it was when I walked in there 2 years ago. And hopefully by challenging or scouting staff that we're going to continue to build out that. In the end of the day, there is only so much money we can spend on each individual and not sacrifice the whole team. So those are definitely questions that we're having with the players' agents.
Hey, Patrick. Hey. During your time as with the Canucks, you brought in some significant players through trade, and that speaks to your pro scouting department, such as Roenick, Lafferty, Smith. Those trades worked out. Does that make you more confident with a potential deal at this year's deadline?
We definitely. I want to empower my staff. My staff are making decisions easier for me. They've been aligned with how we want to do, how we structure our staff, and Cammy Granato and Ryan Johnson has been putting a lot of work in to get that staff up and running, and definitely it makes it easier for myself when I get the input from my staff to make those decisions.
I know that between you and Jim, like historically, you've not waited until the deadline to get a lot of your work done. How much of a priority is that for you now to maybe get some things done sooner versus waiting until March 8th?
You know what, as I said earlier, Jim always want to be ahead of things. And that's one thing that I've learned from Jim, to stay ahead of it, communication with other GMs around the league, and see what's available and what the price tag in is on certain individuals. And if it makes sense for us, as we've shown and Jim has shown in the history, we're not going to just sit and wait.
Last couple of Stanley Cup teams haven't parted with their first-round pick near the deadline, and those teams, much like yourselves, will probably have a very low first-round pick. So what would it take to get you to part with it?
Well, it depends, I guess, on the market price, first and foremost, what the asking price is on certain players that are available. But again, I think that's something we internally discuss, and we're excited, and also seems to be somehow an excitement about our prospects from other teams based on the conversation I have. So again, I feel we have assets here.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks.
That is Canucks general manager Patrick Alvin, fresh off signing a multi-year extension. Jim Rutherford confirming that it's a three-year extension to remain in that role with the team. Back here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650, Jamie Dodd, a little bonus coverage here. We'll just do a few minutes of quick reaction. Then we'll go to the best of Halford and Brough. Elliot Friedman was on with a really interesting interview with them, so we'll get you that. And then at noon, Drance and I will be back with the full version of Canucks Talk for today. But quickly, what I'll say from Patrick Alvin, and look, first of all, I think we've all learned from listening to Patrick Alvin, he's going to play it very, very close to his chest, right? He's not going to tip his cards. He's not going to give us a lot of information or anything to really set the rumor world abuzz. And that was very much true to form from Patrick Alvin at that. You know, the striking thing to me about listening to Patrick Alvin there, more than any of the specifics that he had to say, was, and I want to be clear, this is, I think, to his credit, how similar so much of what he had to say was to things he would have said when the team was struggling a lot more than it is now, right? The relentless focus on making sure you have that alignment between the coaching staff and management, right? The focus on structure, on discipline, on staples, on internal competition, the development of prospects in Abbotsford, the strength of the coaching staff, how his hockey operations department works, empowering people in the hockey operations department to make his job easier. And again, I think it speaks very highly. He said it himself there. Him and Rick Tocchet are both process-driven people. They're not necessarily going to get distracted by win streaks or losing streaks as long as the process is where it needs to be. And I think it speaks very highly of Patrick Alvin that, you know, despite this incredible season that this team is having and being first place in the NHL right now, which, as he admitted, he did not anticipate, I don't think anyone did, coming in to this season, he's not letting that change his process, change what he thinks is the right process for this team going forward, right? And, you know, over and over again, he came back to, hey, things are going well right now, but we have a lot of work to do. Didn't tip his hand much on the idea of going for it, said, yeah, we're going to be having these conversations. No surprise there. Talked to, again, not a lot of specifics in other places either, but the overall mentality from Patrick Alvin remains very, very focused on the idea of that process. And hey, when you see how the process has paid off so far with this team, how it's paid dividends from Rick Tocchet and what he's gotten out of this team, you understand why that would be the case. Lots more reaction coming up with Durant and myself at noon on Canucks Talk. Of course, we'll have Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal on for the crossover, so we'll get some reaction from them as well. Until then, here is, well, we'll go to break, and then we'll come back with the best of Halford and Brough featuring Elliot Friedman here on Sportsnet 650.